So grateful that you're here with us, and so grateful that you're here today. So how are you doing? Pretty good, huh? Yeah, I'm glad. So I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm also doing well, by the way. Glad you asked. You might have heard this story before. I came across it again, and I was just inspired by it yet again. Good stories are like that. So once upon a time, way long time ago, back in the Dark Ages, there were two brothers, and they lived on adjoining farms. You know how that is when you live next door to family. Things are good. Things are great. And they really were enjoying a good life. They really liked it. But they had an argument. And it was a big argument. And it was the first argument that they'd had since they were living next door to each other for 40 years. Wow. So it was shocking to them. And they, you know, during those 40 years, they'd been sharing all of their resources, sharing their tools and sharing their machinery, sharing everything, their labor even. And, you know, this little thing occurred and they broke up. Can you imagine what that's like? It's hard, right? When you've been close to someone for 40 years, and then all of a sudden this misunderstanding happens. Well, it didn't feel like a misunderstanding, but. So this carpenter comes, and he knock, 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 knocks on the door of the older brother. And the carpenter says, you know, I've come to look for work. Do you have anything that I could do for you? Do you have any small jobs, anything? And the brother said, yes, I do have a job for you. Look across the creek. Look across the way over there at that farm. That's my neighbor. In fact, it's my younger brother. But we don't get along anymore. Last week, he dug a wide passage of water. He dug this big moat in between us so that we couldn't, you know, get to each other. And I think, you know, I'm pretty sure he did it just to upset me. He did it just to upset me. I want you to build me something so I don't have to look at that anymore. That's what he asked the carpenter to do. So the carpenter says, okay, I got this. I understand what's going on. I'm picking up what you're putting down. So he gets all of his stuff together, and he gets all of his materials, and he gets to work, and the older brother goes into the house, and he's taking care of stuff. And at sunset, he comes back out, and the older brother gets there just as the carpenter is finishing his job. And he walks out, and he's like, what? And the carpenter had built the most beautiful bridge. He had built the most beautiful. He had worked on the wood and made it gorgeous and just created this beautiful bridge. And the older brother's just looking at it going, this is not what I had in mind. And then he sees his younger brother on the other side of the bridge. And the younger brother is standing there, and he's got this huge smile on his face. And he says, oh, brother, thank you. I felt so bad about what happened. And here you have a bridge built showing that we're always connected. Wow, thank you. And the older brother, of course, is just standing there receiving his younger brother. And of course, they are grateful to be with each other, and they connect and hug, and all of the troubles are gone. And they turn around to the carpenter because he's getting ready to go. And they say, wait, don't go, don't go. We have more jobs for you. There's more work for you here. And the carpenter just looks at them, and he picks up his toolbox and says, no, I'd love to stay, but I have many more bridges to build. So we're always building bridges, aren't we? And unfortunately, we're always needing to build bridges, aren't we? Because life happens, things happen, misunderstandings occur, things get misunderstood, and there we find ourselves with the opportunity to build a bridge or not. So Alan Watts said, "So then, the relationship of self to others is the complete realization that loving yourself is impossible without loving everything defined as other than yourself." Oh. Well, just by definition, like the outline of us, we're other than ourselves. And yet, what we're constantly being called to is to remember our oneness. You know, it isn't just happening here, although it does happen here every Sunday. We're called to remember our oneness. We even sing about it. But it's happening all over the world. We're being called in various ways. Have you noticed we're being called in various ways to recognize how we're interconnected and how we're part of something? Yes? Have you noticed?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. So let's just talk about it here in our spiritual community. In our spiritual community, why are we here? I wonder sometimes, don't you? I never wonder. I know why I'm here. But our spiritual community is a place where we get to do that, where we get to come together and know ourselves and know each other and support ourselves and support each other. And a few weeks ago, I volunteered at a girls' program, and it's this beautiful event that I've been volunteering at for years, where we do an all-day program for young girls ages 8 to 18, and have workshops and activities and musicians and guest speakers, and all of these inspiring people come and talk to the girls. And every year we do this for the girls, right? We're doing it for the girls. Nod your heads. We're doing it for the girls. But do you know what? We're doing it for ourselves. I have really come to realize that everyone who is volunteering there is doing it because they're receiving out of the giving, because they're recognizing themselves in these girls. It doesn't matter, boys, girls, adults, children. It's the ability to see ourselves in someone else and give to that person in a generous and kind way. Think about it. Think about it in your life. Where have you noticed that you're able to give to someone and yet, oh, I was the receiver? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's this thing that happens in community. And I'm reminded of it because I think it's really important. In community, we bond together, we come together, and we can do things greater than we could do by ourselves. And there's an African proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. You can keep a good pace all by yourself. If you want to go far, go together. And that's our invitation. Our invitation is to come together so that we can go far. To come together so that we can do together what we cannot do on our own alone, and to be able to share it. And this is the sticky part, isn't it? To be able to share it, to dance with it, to be engaged in it, even though we're not all approaching it exactly the same way. Even though we all have different ideas about the way it should be done. Even though 25 or 30 or 40 or 60 or 70 of you are all thinking, oh, she could be doing that a different way. Yeah? Okay, cool. The beauty is that we all come together and we give our gift. And we give our gift freely. And we give our gift fully. Fully. To the degree that we can. Because when we do that and we come together in relationship, even if it's for an hour, even if it's for a minute, even if it's for decades, no matter what it is, that we come together fully committed to the us, to the us. So I'm having fun with the word us lately. Do you know how it's spelled? Do you know how us is spelled? You. S. Any teachers in the room? I would go to grammar school for this. So you, and the S is the you pluralized, right? Ooh. So first thing we have to do is get rid of all of our upset about the word you. Yes, I'm talking about you. Yes, I am talking about you. And you, plural, is us. That's us. And us can't be us without you. We, us. You get what I'm putting down, aren't you? Yeah. So to the degree that we want our relationships to work, who matters? You do. To the degree that we want our spiritual community to thrive and be a welcoming place, who matters? You do. And I'm talking to me too. You, Patty. You. U-S. Us. You pluralized. Can't happen with just one of us, because then it's just one. Oh, but we're all one. Oh, isn't it fun? Don't worry about it. It's all good. It's you. It's us. So the thing that happens sometimes when we find ourselves in relationship with another person or persons is there's this interesting thing called projection. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this before. Yeah, on either side of it. You're shaking your heads. No, not me. No, never, never. But it could be experienced like sitting, thinking, this is how I came into ministry. This is a good little story. That's how I came into ministry. Sitting in a chair, very much like you, and thinking, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. And I projected myself right up there on that amazing person. And everything that I saw in that person, I started seeing in me, and I projected myself there. Now, there have been times when I projected myself upon my children in not such a kind way. You know what I'm talking about. You know, thinking I knew what was right for them. Projecting my good ideas, my outlook on life, my perspective, and saying, this is how I feel, this is how you should feel, this is how you should do life. So whether you've been the projector or you've experienced somebody projecting upon you, I think you probably know what I'm talking about. And here's the interesting thing that I realized, and someone else articulated it, but I really related to it, and that is that we will never stop projection. It won't stop. It's part of being human. What we can learn to do is recognize the pattern and seek the inner message which is being revealed to us. And herein you get the gift of me, because this is what I'm always reminding myself and each of us. And that is that the only place for the work to be done is right here. What is the message for me in this experience? If I'm noticing that I'm projecting myself on someone else, ooh, what is that for me? If I'm noticing that I'm feeling projected upon, ooh, what is that for me? The projection is not going to go away. It's how we can relate to it and how we can make friends with it that allows us to be part of it. So when you notice it and you're experiencing it, don't be dismayed by it and don't judge it as wrong. Instead, what are you going to do? Yes, we're going to embrace it, and we're going to look at it and we're going to say, teach me, old friend. What is in this for me? Because who is it all about? You. Always. Always. So every time we find ourselves in that place of judgment, is it possible that there's something within us that is being lifted up to the light of truth? You might call it a healing. You might call it a revealing. You might call it a inspiration, an aha, a revelation. There's this fabulous writer, Harry Palmer, and he wrote, when you adopt the viewpoint that there is nothing that exists that is not part of you, got that part? That there is no one who exists who is not a part of you. that any judgment you make is self-judgment, that any criticism you level is self-criticism, you will extend to yourself an unconditional love that will be the light of the world. It's just letting go of that. We are all surrounded all the time by all sorts of vibrations. And if we want to catch any of them distinctly, we must tune into them, right? So there's all, we talk about it so often, but it's always worth reminding us. There's ideas and vibrations and thoughts and feelings and emotions all over the place. And we're either a feather in the wind, just like this, or we tune in to the vibration, to the feeling, to the emotion, to the experience, to that connection intentionally that we're interested in. Because who gets to choose what our experience is? You do. Us. Yes. Yes. So for the bigger picture of us, it's us, right? You, plural. For me, it's me, myself, and I. Us, plural. So, are you familiar with that song, I Love Myself the Way I Am? I thought you might be. Anybody not familiar with it? Joan, you're not familiar, and Lewis, you're not familiar with it. I promise I won't sing it. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Patty. I love myself the way I am. There's nothing I need to change. I'll always be the perfect me. There's nothing to rearrange. I'm beautiful and capable of being the best me I can, and I love myself just the way I am. Next verse. I love you the way you are. There's nothing you need to do. When I feel the love inside myself, it's easy to love you. Beyond your fears, your rage, and tears, I see your shining star, and I love you just the way you are. I love the world the way it is, because I can clearly see that all the things I judge are done by people just like me. So till the birth of peace on earth that only love can bring, I'll help it grow by loving everything. I love myself the way I am, and still I want to grow. But change outside can only come when deep inside I know I'm beautiful and capable of being the best me I can. And I love myself just the way I am. When I can remember that, and you know, I played that song a lot for my kids when they were growing up, and because I was playing it for my kids, who benefited? We did. Me too. And it kind of became a mantra. I love myself the way I am, so that I can remember to look out here and love who's out here. And then as my understanding grows and I start to experience life in greater ways and I start to experience that, oh, we're one, and when I'm loving myself, I'm loving you, and when I'm loving you, I'm loving myself, the lines, they blur. And there's not this big separation, which is, of course, what I'm always yearning for and wanting, is to ease that separation that I'm feeling. So it doesn't mean that we're needing to make up stuff. I'm not saying that we look out at the world and say, oh, I love what's going on. Not about all that. All of the ways that we're hurting each other. I'm not saying love that. I'm saying love the potential of who we are. Love the essence of who we are. Love the truth of who we are. Love the idea, the greatest idea you can imagine of who we are. And that vibration, line up with that. And as we do that, our lives lighten and brighten. You don't have to take my word for it. Go out and test it. Notice it. You know, it's interesting because we can talk about being we are one, but until we actually embody the idea and start letting that seep into our language and become part of our activity, then it's just words. It's just a good idea. And an affirmation is a beautiful thing, but an affirmation, unless it's embodied, is just words. So to embody it and embrace it and start to let it filter through us, give it clear passage. Ooh, that's when we're going to see some changes. So are you familiar with the golden rule? I hope so. We all learned it as children, didn't we? How does it go? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. It sounds a little bit like projection to me. But it's not a bad idea. But like all good ideas, sometimes they expand and they grow. And I came across the newest rule for living, and I'm going to share it with you. It's called the Platinum Rule. Growing up in life. The Platinum Rule says, treat others the way they want to be treated. Oh, wait, think about that. Treat others the way they want to be treated. So, it's outlined in a very easy story from Dale Carnegie. And he writes it like this. Personally, I'm very fond of strawberries and cream, but I have found for some very strange reason, fish, they prefer worms. So when I went fishing, I didn't think about what I wanted. I thought about what they wanted. I didn't bait the hook with strawberries and cream. Rather, I dangled a worm or a grasshopper in front of the fish and said, wouldn't you like to have that? So the Platinum Rule requires us to be open to new ideas, to other perspectives, to diverse ways of looking at the world. It requires us to actually interact with each other and find out about each other and know each other so that when it's as simple as going out to lunch, what kind of food do you like? Oh, I don't know. What do you like? Oh, I don't know. What do you like? Oh, I don't know. What do you like? Because nobody wants to be the one, right? It's an easy one because you can usually find a restaurant that serves everything. Yeah. However, let's take it deeper than that. When we're with each other, and we want to know each other and we want to connect with each other to engage the Platinum Rule and do unto others as they would desire. As they would desire, why? Because then we are honoring who they are. And in that way, we can invite others to honor us. And in that way, we're required what? To know ourselves, to be able to say to someone, this is what I desire. And for some people, is that hard to do? Because I think we've all been taught, do unto others as you would want them, as you would, you know, that old way. We've been taught to compromise ourselves. And I'm saying there's a new idea, actually it's a really old idea, but let's look at it freshly, that we can love ourselves enough to share who we are with each other in this very safe space called spiritual community, in this greater safe space called the world, and know that who we are is a divine idea in the mind of God. Who we are is love. Who we are is joy. Who we are is peace. Who we are is absolutely worthy and worthwhile and valued and valuable being. Just what the world wants. And how Spirit is showing up individually through each of us, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I don't want Fred to be somebody else. I want Fred to be Fred. I want more of Fred. I want more of Jane. I want more of Kay. I want more of each of you. I don't want you to try to be something that I want you to be. That doesn't help. I want you to be you. And I want our center to be filled with individuals who are excited and know that this is a place where we get to show up and be. And you know what? When we make mistakes and we have faults and we have things that, you know,